a violent earthquake, because an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. That's all I had. You gotta love it. Now, this is the second earthquake in 2 days, 3 days. So somebody would probably be paying attention that this Passover was something special. All the people were aware of all the tremendous events, and now we have another earthquake, and they're probably wondering what is going on, even though the one that they had hoped was their deliverer has been killed. And so they are all depressed. Now it says the angel broke the Roman seal and sat down. And the guards couldn't do anything. And I'll be jumping around the different gospels here, go as fast as I can here because just make some points here. But it says the guards couldn't do anything because they were so scared they became as dead men. Unable to move for fear. Okay? Now people make fun of me because I say I don't go back in that prayer room because there's angels hang out back there and I'm scared of them. But see, there's reason. Angels, big, scary. No, I don't know. These guards were terrified. So since they weren't going to fight the angel got depressed and just sat down because he had his hopes up that he could get in a fight with these guys. These are big, tough Roman soldiers. This is the best the world has to offer at the time. They probably had M16 grenade launchers. But what does the angel do? He gets depressed and just sits down because he had his hopes up for a decent fight and nothing. Now, the whole reason the guards were there was to prevent anybody from breaking the seal. And so here, these mighty soldiers, these brave soldiers, are scared stiff, as it says. So anyway, that's the rolling back of the stone with an earthquake and an angel. Now, if you read the gospel accounts, you can work at this for about 100 hours. You can get all the order in line, which I have done, but I won't bore you with it. But there was a group of women that went to the tomb, and Mary Magdalene by herself went to the tomb, and she's first to get there, and she saw the stone roll away, and then she left. And then the others arrived and saw the angel. So when they came, they were wondering, it says, who will roll the stone away? So when they got there, it was already rolled away because they were going to put spices on the body. No one believed in the resurrection, right? And as we talked about, but by now the guards had run off too. So they look inside and saw the angel and then another angel, and they were scared. And now these angels tell these women what to do. The first thing they said is, hello, he's not here. And they say, come in and take a look. He's not here. He rose just like he said he would. And so there's always, it's Yeshua and the angels trying to pound in the plan of God into people's heads, but they just are a little slow. Okay, take a good look and go quickly and tell the disciples. And then tell them to go to the Galilee to meet Yeshua. Okay, so two parts of their message. He's not here, he's risen, go tell the apostles. Okay, now they leave and Mary Magdalene comes back. In John 21, 20 verse 1, it says that the disciples, when they heard that he had risen, John and Peter go to the tomb first. Yochanan v'Shimon. And it says that John outrun Peter. Now, I know why. Because John was a dancer. It's true. And then Peter comes running up behind him and bumps him, and John falls in. No, John stops, and Peter actually goes in and looks around. And so here, you know the problem. They have the nobody's there, but the linen cloths are there. And, you know, the Shroud of Turin is a big thing in science and all. But clothes here is linens is plural and the Shroud of Turin is singular, but it may have been a cover over the linen, something, or underneath. It could be true, but we never know. I know that Kodak years ago went and studied it in Italy or wherever it was, and Turin. And one of the atheist scientists from Kodak came back a believer because he said this is a supernatural cloth. And it is quite amazing. But anyway, now we have the first appearance of Messiah resurrected is to Mary. She comes back now. As Peter and John have now left, Mary comes back. And now the angels are back. And so these angels are not the shining angels like the guards saw, but these look like ordinary people. And Mary asks where the body was. And because she says, they have taken my Lord's body, and she wants to know where it is so she can go there. And then she hears the voice, right? And she did not know it was him. And the reason she may not have recognized him is because she's probably crying, and it's hard to see through water, salt water. But then he goes, Miriam, and then she knew. And so she is the first person to see him resurrected. And of course, as I've taught before, the Gospels have women being the first witnesses to the resurrection, which would never be the way a fabrication would be written. You would always have men because women's testimony was not valid, but the reason it says that women are the first ones is because women were the first ones. It's just the way, it's not a fabrication. It's just the truth, okay? So remember, he says, do not touch me. And we know because now he's in the mode of Yom Kippur, the high priest going to heaven. And after a high priest was cleansed for his work on Yom Kippur, he was no longer allowed to be touched by anybody. And then so he had ascended to heaven. He put the blood on the real ark. And then when he comes back, they touch him. Okay? And it didn't take very long. So now the second appearance is with the other women, still no men. And so as it is, these were sent to go tell the disciples once again, he is risen, and go to the Galilee. And so the first apostles in the New Testament are all women, because apostles are people sent. And Yeshua sends them, and the angels send them to go tell the apostles. So in Matthew 28, they ran from the tomb with fear and joy. I love that, because they were so excited that they ran. And there's going to be moments like this in our life. We're going to see him or hear him or appearance of him, and it's going to be a fearful, awesome thing, but it's going to be great, joyous as well. And you'll probably have a little skip in your step, right? Oh man. And if you're a dancer, you'll be first. Okay. Now it says that they worshiped at his feet. And they were touching him now, because I think he's been back. But they worshiped, and in this word, this number 2902, it says they held on to his feet. And this word is a word that means from strength, to hold, to detain, to maintain, to retain, to restrain. So what this is they grabbed onto him, by gollies, and they held on to him, and they ain't letting go. Worship. Strength worship. Power worship. Serious worship. I gotta love it, right? Even if Yeshua had been in a hurry, they weren't gonna let him go. Now we're gonna have our moment, right? So sometimes you gotta say, I need my moment. And hold on, and use your muscles, your worship muscles, to hold on to him. Oh, man. Worship, worship, worship. I know when we see him first face to face our first time, he's going to be restrained again, right? I know you guys. You'll do it. I'll be saying, now, take it easy, take it in. And you'll say, no, we're restraining. You guys. But Yeshua says, don't be afraid. And there's fear because they saw the dead body 3 days ago. This is just a little intense, right? And he's not a ghost. It's not a vision. They're not having a vision. He was the resurrected Messiah. Okay, so anyway, now the guards. The next events is what about the empty tomb? Now the guards, they probably looked a little pale and being scared, went off and told the chief priests all that had happened. And it says that they went and told the chief priests. Now why wouldn't they go tell the Roman boss? Dead. They'd be executed. Remember when Peter escapes at Passover a year from now, those guards were executed in Acts. And these guards would be executed. But so they go and tell the chief priests because they need to tell the chief priests because they're in charge of the faith of Israel. And they need to tell the people in charge of the faith of Israel that this guy that you killed, he ain't dead. And he's got angels working for him. So you need to surrender. And so the high priest took out the white flag and went to the tomb. And they all got, no. No, what did they do? It's amazing. The Roman guard went to the chief priests and they told him the story to the Sadducees, the elders, and the Pharisees. And the chief priests created two things, a payoff and a lie. They paid off the soldiers to tell this huge, colossal lie. Instead of dying by Pilate, they now have become rich by lying. And then the chief priest said, but if the lie reaches the governor's ears, we'll take care of it there. So they took the money and lied. And this lie continues. And it says in the Gospels there that this lie continues to that day. And we can say that this same lie continues clear to our day to a large extent. And the lie is that while we were sleeping, they came and stole the body. This is the primary way of explaining away the resurrection, that they came while we were sleeping and stole away the body, which is an amazing lie, because here you have guards that aren't allowed to sleep, and somebody rolls away the stone, and there's an earthquake while they're sleeping, and then somebody steals the body while they're sleeping. It's a terrible lie. But these guys had have a rough week. They were worn out by all this Passover stuff, right? So they couldn't come up with a decent lie, but the guards didn't get to sleep, and they rolled the stone while they were sleeping, and if they were sleeping, how do they know who it was that stole the body? And because they said the disciples came and stole the body while we were sleeping. So it's a terrible lie. But anyway, we'll move on. What else? The next appearance of Yeshua, I'll bet you we'll see these guards in the kingdom because they were probably the most intense first believers. Now, they took the money and did the lie because they wanted to live. But you know, they know what they saw. And now no bribe is going to cover up what they saw, right? So we'll get to talk to them and they'll go, oh, I was so scared. You should have seen this angel. No, it was amazing. I told my buddy guard over here, you take him. And he says, you take him. And we both ran off together. The next appearance of Yeshua was on the road to Emmaus, which we've talked about. But the thing about Emmaus is the two from Emmaus kind of rebuked the Lord for not knowing what was going on. And then the Lord rebukes them for not knowing what's really going on. It's quite the story, but he taught them all the messianic prophecies on the road to Emmaus. The thing I wanted to point out here is that they said that our hearts were burning within us. And the Bible here has a power in it, an anointing in it. And you can read sometimes for a while and a while and a while, but then maybe there's this time or this a verse that the Holy Spirit is highlighting for you, and it's going to come with power for you. And there's supernatural power connected with the Bible. And Yeshua released this on them, and their hearts were burning from the Word of God. Isn't that cool? And so we need to know the Word so we don't get rebuked for not knowing what's really going on instead of just saying we did, okay? Now, when he got to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him, but remember he lifted the matzah in his hands that had the stripes and the holes in it, because we're still in the week of unleavened bread here. So it would have been matzah. And then it says that they recognized him because probably when he lifted his hands, his robe would come down and they could see the holes. Okay? And they recognized him. And so then the two disciples two students on the way to Emmaus go back to Jerusalem in the dark. They got all the way to Emmaus. Now they got to go back all the way to what? Once more. Tell the disciples. And so they're telling the disciples, and Shimon, in the meantime, has had his own private visitation. And so Shimon is in there also saying that he has also seen him, right? So we have this special thing here going on. Oh, yes, poor doubting Thomas. Now, everybody has seen the Lord at this point except Thomas. The apostle Thomas was not with the other 11. And now you got to feel sorry for the guy. I don't know where he was. Homesick with the flu, no doubt. But all 11 see Messiah except him. So then when he finds out, he says, I don't believe any of you. With two or three witnesses, let everything be confirmed. 11, I don't believe you. I'm not going to believe it until I touch him and put my hands in the holes. That's what he says. So what do we have? Yeshua shows up then, and Thomas is with them. And Thomas said this without Yeshua being there. And Yeshua shows up, and he says, here, Tommy, put your hands in the holes. Ooh-lee-bee-shoo-lee-co-shay. You ever have one of those days? All the disciples are like this. Oh. I'm glad I believed all along. But that's the sad part. See, none of them believed either. None of them believed. And Thomas gets labeled the doubter. Now, after they all believed, I'm sure they did get rebuked later in the Gospels here for not believing, but the women did not. But wouldn't you have liked to have been the one that did believe? And that day will come again. In these last days, you might not be the majority, and everybody will say no. And you can be that one that never gives up the faith, understands the plan of God, and hangs on. Then it will be blessed are you. Blessed are you. Because Yeshua says, you believe because you have seen and touched me. But blessed are those who have not seen and still believe. And he was talking about you. He was talking about you all, right? So now, a week later, or 8 days, they're still in the house with the doors locked, and Yeshua appears again. And he says, stop doubting and believe. Because why? They've still not gone to the Galilee. The first instruction they got from the resurrected Messiah is to go up north. Get out of town, man. Still, they have not gone. But because Thomas refused, they just stayed put, I guess. And so now he shows up. Yeshua has to show up through the locked doors and say, hello. Remember the plan, Galilee. So they do go up north, but it was interesting that Thomas's confession there is, my Lord and my God, at the end of John. And the Gospel of John is based on the divinity of the Messiah. In fact, there's only like 6 miracles or signs done in the whole book of John, but because John's mission is to prove the divinity, and it comes to this conclusion with Thomas here saying, my God, to Yeshua. And so this was a fitting conclusion to the Gospel of John, right? Blessed are those, hallelujah, you are blessed because you believe and you have not seen and touched him, right? Oh. So many other miracles, of course. Let me end with Shimon. Well, they go up to the Galilee and Yeshua is not there. So what does our favorite disciple do? Just goes back to the way it all started. I'm going fishing. And so they're out there fishing, and Yeshua's on the bank. Now, they fished again all night. Doesn't that sound like a rerun? At the beginning, they fished all night. And Yeshua says, put out in deep water and catch a whole bunch, which is impossible. And now Yeshua says, hey, friends, catch anything? And they go, no. And he says, try the other side. You'll get some. And so then the net is breaking, right? And so Peter gets out of the boat because John says, it's the Lord. And Peter, as soon as he hears John say, it's the Lord, he gets out and runs through the water and back to the shore, where, and he just abandons the other disciples in the boat with all these 153 fish, because you couldn't lift them into the boat, the net would tear, so they had to do all this work, and Peter's just over there with the Lord. I tell you, that guy's a piece of work. But as we finish up here, Peter receives three jobs or commissions or orders from Yeshua. And we have two different words used here for love, the agape and the philo. And we have two different words for shepherding. And we have two different words for those being shepherded. Stop it. We have three questions, all slightly different, and three answers by Peter, which are all the same. Then this all results in the three job descriptions and the prophecy of Peter being tortured to death, which actually is the correct answer to all three questions, even though it's not the answer Peter gives Yeshua each time. Did you get that? The first question is, Shimon, do you agape me more than these? And agape is the power love, the main love, the high love, and the philo is just friendship. So big love, friendship. And Yeshua asks Shimon, do you high love me more than the rest of the disciples? And Shimon answers, I philo you. Two different words in the Greek, right? And he says, I only friendship you. And why does Peter answer this? Because 3 days ago he swore that if all of those abandon you, I will not. And then their eyes met as Messiah was being arrested there, and Peter had denied him three times, and it says their eyes met. Now their eyes are meeting, and Peter has to look away and say, I can only say I friendship you. Right? And it's because of this word. How many of you have ever heard this word? Condemnation. He is the lowest person. So then Yeshua gives the first order, feed my lambs, which are baby believers. Peter is to shepherd new believers, which is the milk of the word, which is 1 Peter is all milk of the word, the letter in Peter. Okay? All right, so then the second question, do you agape me, period? Not more than the rest of those. Don't, just do you agape me, period? High love me, period. And he answers, I philo you. I friendship you. He can't even say he loves him at all. Just the friendship word. So he's saying, I can't even say honestly that I agape you at all. I can only say I am your friend. So Yeshua says, lead my sheep. Now it went from lambs to lead my sheep. So now this is mature believers. And take care of my sheep, rule over them as a chief apostle. So he is the head of the church, the one with the keys, right? Sheep are mature, and Peter is to be their leader. So, and this is seen in Acts with all the keys and all this stuff. We don't have time. Now, the third question, do you philo me? Do you friendship me? And now Yeshua changes his question into the friendship kind of love. And the point here is that Peter was unable to answer the agape love. And so he says, yes. He says, Lord, you know, and he feels bad, and he's grieved and hurt because of his past failure, and he says, yes, I philo you, and you know I am your friend. I can at least say that. I am certain I am at least your friend. And the third commission is given, feed my sheep. So the first job was feed my lambs, second job is lead my sheep, and third job is to feed my sheep. So the mature believers, again, 2 Peter is all meat of the word. So we have 1 Peter and 2 Peter. Okay, so this is Peter feeling bad, and he gets these jobs given to him. And then Yeshua says, you will die for me, essentially, and it will glorify me. So really now the conclusion is, and I'll make my conclusion, is that Peter's saying, I don't agape you. And Yeshua says, you really do agape me, because you're going to go all the way to martyrdom for me. I know you don't feel like it, saying it right now, but you do. And this is how you will die. So this is very good news and very bad news to Peter. He knows he's going to die for the Lord now, but it's good news because he knows, oh, I will finally do something right. I'll die for Messiah. Isn't that something? So that is how that ends up. And then if you look at, he led them to Bethany, which is the backside of the Mount of Olives. He lifted up his hands and began to bless them. And while he was speaking, he went up into a cloud and disappeared into heaven. And two angels dressed in white stood next to them, and they said that he will come back the same way. And so they were waiting, and we are waiting for him to come back. Amen. So there's worship and there's teaching in this text. Maybe that's why we didn't dance today. We were blooming, holding on, power worship, and knowing this book. Yavarekaka Adonai v'yishmereka. Ye'ir Adonai panavaleka v'hu necha. Yiso Adonai panavaleka v'yoseim leka shalom b'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, sarha shalom. Amen, amen. Are you looking for his return? Are you going to grab hold for your moment? Shabbat shalom.